morning. What a blessing to be here. Thank you for that singing. It was a real encouragement. Let's have a word of prayer here before we get started. Yes, Father, our Lord, our Savior, we bow before you this morning, Lord. I desire to lift you up your name and exalt you, Lord, what you've done, the provisions you've made in our lives, Father. Just thank you for this time. I pray that you would bless these few crumbs that we have, that you would feed your flock here, Lord. You would feed these souls. In your name we pray. Amen. For text this morning, I'd like to look at 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll read from verse 13 to 23. We'll start reading in verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. So I did some driving this week. I was listening to this chapter, and a lot of times I will re-listen to four or five verses over and over, and it just helps me to try to absorb it more. And the phrase that kept coming out was in chapter 19 or verse 19. It says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, that phrase kept coming to my mind. And had a lot to ponder, and I had to think, how precious is the blood of Christ to me? I know it up here, but is it a reality in my heart and in my everyday life? Do I make it a part of my everyday life? And as I was seeking the Lord for something to share, I kept coming back to this, and I thought about trying to expound or talk a little about the precious blood of Christ. It's a very large subject, and I know I can't do it justice in the short time that I have, but I'd like to look at some verses and some promises in the scriptures that we have through it. For starting, I thought about reading his crucifixion, where he actually shed his blood for us. And in doing that, I'd like to turn to John chapter 19. We'll start reading in verse 16 for the sake of time, and maybe end around 26. Then delivered he him, therefore, unto be crucified, talking about Pilate. Then delivered he him, therefore, them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him on either side. On either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests, Chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And they said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cephas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished and that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Jesus therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first one, of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he saw it, and he that saw it bear record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that, he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look upon him whom they pierce. I think we'll quit reading there. We see where they pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water. We see where he shed his blood there. And we know that the scripture saith that the soldiers crucified him, or the people, but we know the scripture saith that he gave his life for our sins. We know and believe that he could have called down angels, but it was his choice. He free willingly gave that he could, that through his death we could have life. Romans 3:23-26 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Romans 5:6-10 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if we, when we were enemies, were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, how much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Ephesians 1:7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Ephesians 2:11-22, "Wherefore remember that ye being in the time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, is strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world." Without Christ and without the blood of Christ, that is where we're at, if that is not applied to our life. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments containing in ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Colossians 12:23, 1 Colossians 12, verses 12-23, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whereby they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, made a minister. Hebrews 9:11-15. But Christ, being come as a high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Thank you for listening. I think that's all I have. I don't want to portray a partial gospel in any way. I just want to lift up Christ with the reading of these verses and what he has done for us. In closing, I'd like to read Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, and that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.